Live from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Welcome to Intentional Living, where we like to say good intentions come to die and your intentional life begins. And I'd like to add now, today, for some of you, especially on this topic in the next half hour, if you're struggling with an addiction, attempting to live in recovery, or seeking to understand the mind of an addict, or a family member and you're concerned for and love that person, maybe you've tried too many times, or too much, or feel like you need to do something more, we want to help you today. My special guest, Dr. Greg Jantz, and I will help you get intentional about the healing from the scars of addiction, which, by the way, is the title of a book and a series written by Greg Jantz. Dr. Jantz is a contributor. You hear him on the Intentional Living Minute. He's a popular speaker and award-winning author, the founder of The Center, a place of hope in Washington State, and has a brand new book, as I mentioned, called Healing the Scars of Addiction. We're going to get to you in a moment, Greg, but I want you we want to take this call first, and then we're going to respond and take some other calls as well. By the way, if you want to have you have a comment to share, give us a call at 888-888-1717. Claudia is on the line and has a comment for us. Claudia, welcome. What's your comment?
Basically, I just wanted to tap on the fact that a lot of us addicts, I'm a recovering addict 3 years. I was an addict for 16 years on opiates, and my addiction wasn't just that I just wanted to get into it and check it out and see how it made me feel. It started from a very traumatic experience when I was 7 years old. And, a family member of mine almost killed me. And so from that point on, I just experienced just constant trauma in my life. By the time I was a teenager, I was determined to do whatever it took to numb the pain. And so I know that throughout the years, I talked to a lot of fellow addicts, and I don't think we focus enough on the fact that there is a deep root to many of our addictions and for many of, for many addicts. And so it's something that I really want to bring to light, because until I was able to finally admit the deepness, the root of the problem, and what started me, and why am I having so much pain? And I actually wrote it down as an addict. And until I just started saying, my gosh, I can't deal with the addiction by myself, and I can't deal with this trauma by myself. But when I finally started writing it down, and, there are times where I was driving to my dealer's house, and I was so determined to quit that I would be praying on my way there. And I would be praying on my way back. I would be praying over my list, and I just wouldn't give up praying, just because I knew that there is somebody out there who is greater than me, and he's the only one who can help me.
Oh, Claudia, you're right. Thank you for getting us started today and just so transparently sharing your heart and your pain and your journey. Greg Jantz, as I mentioned, is joining me on the phone today. And Greg, thank you for coming back to be a part of the program today.
It's good to be with you and to talk about this topic. What a story there.
It is. When I hear Claudia, she talks about talking about getting to the root, understanding the root. How important is that, and what are some of the roots?
Sure. There's times that we may ask the question, why me, why me? We get stuck on that question, why? And we don't always know. But she really explained very well that she had a traumatic situation, and a lot of times a beginning root of an addiction can come from trauma, and we just look for a way to cope, and we can step into an addiction really not with that intent, but that's what happens. And then she really described the stronghold of the addiction and how powerful that became. I mean, you're driving to a dealer's house and you're praying, you know there's a problem, you know the power of it.
We think about addiction today, that term is thrown around a lot, Greg. People say they're addicted to movies, they're addicted to their cell phone, addicted to food. Take a minute, as a professional who deals with this in your treatment center, what is the designation or a definition of addiction?
Well, addiction is a word we want to be careful with, but it is really descriptive of a person who is continuing to engage in a behavior despite, at times, very negative consequences. So I may know that there's going to be negative consequences, but that behavior or that desire is so strong, I'm going to keep doing that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's hard for a person that's not struggling and are not in the stronghold of an addiction. It's hard to understand, well, why don't you just quit? You know it's going to cause all this trouble. But that's an addiction. I'll still do it knowing the outcome is going to be pretty negative ultimately.
Yeah. Well, you have people listening today and they've probably been, their parents or some friends said, you're addicted to your cell phone, or you're addicted
to
entertainment and so on. How does a person know? I mean, sometimes it's very, very clear. We got other people listening today and they're in a state of denial when they really do have a problem. How can I know that I have a problem with something? What's some practical questions I should ask myself?
Well, how much time am I thinking about it? And how secret am I? It's the person today that's hearing our voice that is already thinking about, on my way home, I'm going to swing by and get that alcohol. They're already thinking about it. It's using mental energy. It's using mental space. I'm plotting. Maybe I'm already being deceptive. So I know I have a problem if I have a lot of secrecy around this.
A lot of people do on lots of topics. Daniel wants to join us. He's going to share a little bit of his journey. Welcome to the program, Daniel.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Go right ahead.
So I was listening to Dr. Jantz on the first program, and, he was kind of hitting a lot of stuff on the head about addictions starting at a young age. I was 17 or 18, and kind of fell into the trap of pornography. Kind of fast forward, I turned 30 this year. It played a part in the end of my marriage. And it finally got to a point where I had to look at this and it's not doing anything positive for me. A change needs to be made. And so I started going to counseling with my pastor, and he just opened my eyes to, what it was really showing. It's the objectification of women. That's not what God intended, sex to be like between a man and a woman. And, going through all those years where I was trying to, fill a void of loneliness and not having somebody in my life, and then, end up that it caused me to lose somebody that I loved and cared for deeply, it just made me take a step back and, see that this was a cancer in my life, and that I needed to do whatever possible to get rid of it.
Mm. Do you have accountability now, Daniel, and a process and a plan?
Yeah. I still meet with my pastor regularly, and, he holds me accountable. I have two young sons. And that was another thing that I had to kind of put my mind on. I don't want them to grow up and fall into the same traps. I want them to, grow up as knowing God better than I did, through their ages. So, that was also a big consideration that, I don't want for them what happened for me.
Mm. Daniel, brother, listen, we're praying. We know God's still a God of restoration and he's a forgiving God. We know he forgives. And I hope and pray you're experiencing that forgiveness and freedom in your life that comes from him. Greg, I think Daniel reminds us there's can be tragic results, and sometimes people don't wake up until they get to the, wow, my life blew up in front of me here. Now I got to get some help. And I think Daniel's a reminder that many of these things start early. We got maybe young men listening who've been caught in the addiction, and now with internet, it's very prevalent, very available, but can be very destructive in the lives of people. Serious stuff. And how do you address young people when it talk about the seriousness of the journey this is could take them on?
Well, one of the things that as a young person, it's difficult for them to see the effect on their future. there's the really the belief that, okay, no, I'll change. I can do this now. No big deal. But then it's like, you know, okay, I'm out of high school now. Now I'm still doing those behaviors and I'm doing more of them. Yeah. And so nothing changed except things got worse. And so it's hard for a young person to understand that because addiction is a subtle and sneaky process. Before you know it, you're way off course and you kind of look back and go, how did I ever get here?
Yeah.
The good news, the redemption, is that God is in control. You make some decisions. There's U-turns you can make. But we know, and I've seen it, those who have struggled and it's been a disaster, God has used it for good. There's redemption and there's restoration of one's life. And so things can be rebuilt. So redemption, restoration, and rebuild.
Boy, that's good news. Hey, thank you, Daniel, for your call, brother. I'm glad you're listening and you're being intentional. Stay at it. God's not done with you yet. The plan's not completely written yet. And don't allow the enemy to defeat you in the process. We're going to take a break. Be back. Grandma's on the line. Not mine, but Christine is on the line and has a granddaughter who started using marijuana. And now she's concerned about having the family around her. And how does that impact? We're going to talk about the family impact and all of this. Coming up next here at Intentional Living, you're welcome to join us with your comment at 888-1717.
Because life happens 24/7, we've made Intentional Living available for you 24/7. Whenever and wherever, as long as you can get online, you can go to theintentionallife.com. At the top of our webpage, you'll see those little icons for YouTube, Vimeo, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even Pinterest. You can also hear full-length programs just like this one on demand. Or you can download the app so that everything I'm talking about will be right there in your smartphone. All of this waiting for you right now for free at theintentionallife.com.
The Intentional Marriage Conference is perfect for engaged couples, those celebrating decades of marriage, and everywhere in between. Join Intentional Living's Dr. Randy Carlson.
I mean, it's a simple question. We ask you, ladies, where do you want to go to dinner tonight, right? It's a simple question. And the woman says, I don't care.
And best-selling author, Dr. Kevin Lehman.
Women have an entirely different world they live in. But check this out. Their world is closer to reality than ours. That's what you have to understand, because women thrive on relationships.
The Intentional Marriage Conference, November 10th in Albuquerque, will strengthen intimacy in your marriage and give you the secrets of successful communication.
Guys, isn't that the way we operate? We come to our wives and we say, listen, if you got a problem, I'll fix it.
The words you choose to use with those you love, if you just change your words, you can change the very direction of that relationship that you have with them.
Get your tickets now at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com for the Intentional Marriage Conference, November 10th in Albuquerque.
Yeah, hey, listen, that's coming up very soon. And I'm going to be presenting the Intentional Living Process, which you hear me refer to in bits and pieces throughout our program from day to day. I'm going to bring it all together and bring it around your marriage, how these four steps of intentional living can transform marriages. I've seen it, and I want to show you how it works. It's Albuquerque, by the way. That's where Kevin and I will be for our Intentional Marriage Conference. All you have to do to get your tickets today, very simple, go online to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and when you do, if you find the button for the events, it'll be there for you pretty straightforward. All right. Appreciate it. Today, Healing the Scars of Addiction. It's a series of books written by Gregory Jance. This is the newest one, just out for a couple of months now. Reclaiming Your Life and Moving into a Healthy Future. Dr. Jance is a popular speaker. He's a contributor to Intentional Living, the founder of the Center, a Place of Hope in Washington State. And I appreciate Greg being with us today as we take calls and talk about addiction and how you can be intentional through the process. And Christine is on the line in Wisconsin. Hi, Christine. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your question for us today?
Well, we have a granddaughter. My husband and I have let her live with us because, well, her mother passed away last year unexpectedly, and her stepfather kicked her out, and she had nowhere to go. So she's been living with us, and she has been using marijuana. We told her she can't use it here. She's 28, so I you know, I can't ground her or anything like that, I guess. But how, and now my other daughters don't want their children around her, and it's just put a terrible strain on our family relationship. My daughter says that I am just destroying our relationship with our other grandchildren mm-hmm. and with our daughters.
So you have one daughter who's critical of what you're doing, trying to help.
Yes. Well, two, actually. Two are critical.
So two of your...
One's more vocal.
Two of your daughters, critical of... and this would have been their sister, their sister's
yes.
child. Yeah, and she's passed away.
Yes.
All right. So what do they expect you to do? What do they want you to do?
They want me to kick her out.
All right.
She has nowhere to go.
All right.
And I know I'm probably enabling her. She finally got a job. If she calls it full-time, they call it a full-time position, but she doesn't get 40 hours a week. It's very low pay, so she wouldn't be able to make it on her own. She is a big help to me. My husband mm-hmm. is disabled, and she is a big help.
Now, is she using other drugs? Is she in alcohol, drugs, other things?
Well, my daughter did a drug test on her and sent it off to a lab, and it was showed positive for marijuana. So hopefully mm-hmm. she's not using anything else.
All right. Greg, great question. We get these lines with families. You don't want to enable. She used that word. I think, you know, enable your granddaughter or your child to continue to be a user. Yet you want to help them. And how do you draw those lines in really practical ways?
Yes, and there are boundaries. You know, we hear the word enabling, and sometimes we enable because you think about it. Sometimes it's a person struggling, and we love them so much, we will mm-hmm. do just about anything for them, and sometimes we'll make mistakes. It's like the mom who gave, oh, shoot, I gave some money. They said they were going to go and get him food, but, you know, inside you know what they were going to do.
Yeah.
But you love them so much. So we need to have boundaries. You know, one of that is if you use, one of the boundaries may be can't stay here. And those are tough. And we hear the word tough love, but we have to be able to say, I love you enough that this is not okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, Christine, what I heard you say was, you know, I love my granddaughter. She has nowhere to go. But if your expectation is you're not going to use marijuana, you're not going to use drugs and stay here, you're saying to her, I love you. You can stay here. You're not throwing her out. You're not saying she can't be a part of your life. You're not saying that you're not going to provide for her. You're simply saying one of the values that we hold in our home is that we don't, and in this case, use marijuana. Other homes would say you don't smoke or you don't drink. Or if you're going to stay in our home, you're not running a hotel here. In other words, this isn't just them coming and going, doing what they want. Having your expectations to be honored is certainly reasonable. She's making the choice, if she chooses not to stop using, to move out, not you. And so I think maybe part of it's a definitional thing for you as you really work with her. What complicates all this today is in many states, I don't know about Wisconsin, this stuff is legalized. It's just part of it's no more than going down and getting a pack of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know about Wisconsin, but that probably complicates the work you do, I would think, Greg, when you're trying to help people be clean of stuff, and then more and more of the stuff gets legalized.
Absolutely. And I live in a state where cannabis, marijuana, pot is, no matter what we call it, is legalized. And we have, you know, 13-year-old kids who say, well, I know, but it's legal.
Yeah.
Well, it's not legal if you're 13, but we rationalize our behaviors starting young.
Yeah, and in the process, you have, you know, you have, I don't know about Wisconsin. Is it legal in Wisconsin, Christine?
It's not yet. They would like to legalize it.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Now, is your husband involved?
Not much. He has dementia, so he's not.
So you're having to make these decisions, you know. But what is your heart telling you, Christine? What does your heart tell you on this?
I'm going to lose my whole family.
Yeah.
My granddaughter did 2 years in prison because she robbed the place that she was working at. And I'm afraid if I tell her she can't live here anymore, she has nowhere to go, she's going to rob someplace else. So she can pay for a rent or something. You know, and then she'll be back in prison, and there's no help for her there. She got absolutely no help.
So you have a husband with Alzheimer's you're caring for. You have a granddaughter who's abusing herself and abusing being with you. You have your children who are, you put a big strain in the relationship, and you're carrying all of this yourself. You're feeling like you're caught in the middle. You have to solve all this.
Well, yeah, it's up to me to solve it, yeah.
Hmm. Well, Greg, if you were sitting across with that whole family, what would you say?
Well, you know, one of the things is we love the family members, but there's a time of intervention. There's a time of natural consequences. There's a time of saying, I love you so much, and if you choose to continue this, and then you lay out what the consequence is. And I know that's hard, mm-hmm. But there's a time where we communicate our love, but our love says, you know, here's the rules of our home, and this is how it has to be, and we love you so much. In fact, we're willing to assist you getting the help you need, and, you know, this is kind of an intervention type where we're going to say, and help them, because a person will continue in that behavior as long as it's allowed.
Really,
and I know that's hard. I know it's hard, but they will.
You know, Christine, I think you hear an echo with both of us saying the same thing. And then earlier you heard a spot about Dr. Kevin Lehman and I doing a conference. I can remember Kevin making a statement that stuck in my head. No one member of the family is more important than the whole family. And what I hear is you got daughters, you've got a husband who's wrestling, you got your own impact on your life. You can't go down. You've got a lot of responsibility right there in your home. You can't allow this granddaughter that you love and care for to be pulling the strings, as it were, of the family. If you have reasonable expectations, then you need to address those. You can't be responsible for what she does. She's 28 years old. If she chooses to go out and rob or do whatever, you can't change that. In fact, you can't change it just because you allow her to stay in your home. She might do it anyway. Once you take that level of responsibility, not only are you responsible for the bad things, then you got to be responsible for the good things as well. And you can't be. There's a point where you've got to give her to God. You've got to be very intentional. You got to be strong. And I know it's hard to do that alone, and you may need to get some help in the process of doing that. Okay. All right. We'll be praying for you, Christine. I'm glad you're listening. I hope the radio station you're finding is encouraging you as well. All right. Let's go to Katie, is on the line in Georgia. Welcome to the program. Thank you for waiting. Go right ahead. Are you there, Katie?
Hi.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
I am a recovering addict. I was just going to share some of my story, but God saved me from myself. Mm-hmm. No one else could save me. I couldn't save myself. I went through a long process. I went to a rehab. I relapsed a few times. God ended up scooping me up out of the pits of hell, honestly, or a living hell, and He locked me up, and during that time, I was gone for 6 months. I was able to dig my roots in deep with him in the Word, and
so you ended up in jail. You ended up in jail.
I did.
Yeah. Can I ask what was the, what are you recovering from? What's the addiction?
Yes. So, everything really, but heroin and meth mostly. Or I'm a recovering heroin and meth addict. However, I've dipped and dabbed in everything. I was a straight A student and I graduated and I went to the University of Georgia. I did not start doing drugs until after I got to college, and it started out with marijuana. So I do agree that it is a gateway drug. And it just progressed over time. I was in addiction for a good 9 years. And this.
How long you been clean now, Katie?
So I've been clean for 19 months.
Good for you.
Yes, which is the longest that I've ever been clean. I don't know. It's just, it feels really good. And I just want to give hope out there to anyone and everyone who's lost or who have family members and they're struggling. No one could save me, and only God could save me, only the Lord. I know that He was with me the entire time. And I'm just really grateful.
Well, listen, Katie, you've done a beautiful job sharing a very difficult, personal, painful story. I mean, here's a young woman, straight A's, going to college, gets on marijuana, becomes a gateway to other things. She didn't intend to do that. Happens. Powerful things. These are very powerful things that can get in our life today. Addiction to pornography or to substances. It can happen in relationships. It can happen to gambling. We didn't even talk about gambling. That's another thing that destroys family. We got a couple minutes. I wish we had a couple hours, Craig, as we talk about this. But, you know, what do you share that's hope-filled to someone who's listening today and they're really looking for something to help them get through another day and take a healthier step in their life? Where do they turn, Greg?
I think the power of the addiction says, you're not worth it. You're not lovable. You've failed. This is what you deserve. You get all those messages, any addiction, a gambling addiction, sex addiction, alcohol, you name it. An addiction will communicate those messages that you're unlovable and not worth it. It's so important today to know that you have great value. God still has a plan and purpose for your life. He is the Redeemer and can restore that. And all the pain, the addiction, I write about the scars. Every addiction will create scars, but those scars will make you stronger if we make decisions today.
Amen.
Hearing our voice, hearing Randy and I today, is a chance to make a decision because God promises you a future and a hope.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate you being with us today. We're talking intentional living and particularly the healing the scars of addiction. Dr. Greg Jantz has joined me. If you'd like to know more about Greg and his work at the Center, A Place of Hope in Washington, you can check it out at our website at theintentionallife.com. In the closing 30 seconds here, I want to say thanks to those of you who are praying for and supporting the ministry and to offer an opportunity for you to come and join us in support and to say thank you for doing so. Your monthly support, we're going to send to you our brand new teaching for this month called The Things I've Learned, The Things Randy's Learned on an Airplane. I just taught it and I want to share it with you on CD. So come and join us. We'll see you tomorrow from Intentional Living.